righty. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Bible says in Luke chapter 9, look in verse 57. We're going to read 57 through 61. Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." I don't know if that certain man was Peter or not. But Peter done some strong bragging over there. And a lot of times you might make that statement not realizing what you're saying. Because sometimes that statement might take you places you don't want to go. But in 58, the Bible said, "Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." And I want to preach on this thought for a few minutes on why people don't follow Jesus. Now, you got three situations there. You got three excuses. Amen? And the first man asked Jesus, said, "I follow thee whatsoever." Jesus said unto him, explain his condition and what he's having to live with. And he said unto another, "Follow me." Jesus speaking then. And that one said, "Suffer me first to go and bury my father." And then he said unto another, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell." So I want to just bring out three things out of that set of scriptures there on reasons I believe a lot of times people don't follow the Lord. And I believe sometimes the reasons, and you don't even realize you're making the excuses. Amen? I think sometimes we're in a custom of being Americans that a lot of times we use excuses thinking that they're good excuses. But I don't think they're good excuses. Look what he says down in 62, verse 62. Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." But what he's making reference to is service, serving God. I want to bring you three things out here tonight with these scriptures. First of all, I believe one of the reasons is the comforts of life. We have it real comfortable in America. And I believe the ministry is suffering from it. I believe the mission field is suffering from it. Because of the comfort that we do have in America, a lot of people does not want to be uncomfortable. Therefore, they'll just stay where they're at, stay where they're put it. They don't want to be uprooted. Why? Because of the comfort that they have. They have built them a nest and it's comfortable. Nothing wrong with that. But it should never hinder your call of God on your life. I like comfort. If I said many times, I don't suffer well. I don't voluntarily put myself in places that's not comfortable. I've been in some places like that. But when it comes to the call of God on your life, you should not let that hinder you because you're settled, you got a good job, you got a house. And a lot of times you plant those roots so deep that you don't want to be uprooted. Lord, I'd do anything for you. God, I'll serve you, but I just need to live right here. Amen. Just stay right where I'm at. Stay right around my family. Keep my friends. And, Lord, if I can just continue to make the money I'm making, God, I'd do anything for you. God, I'd go anywhere you want me to go. If you'll let me stay right here and do it. Amen. I believe what Jesus was telling them here in this verse, verse 57, 58, that if you're going to follow me, you're going to be uncomfortable. See what he said there? And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus saith unto him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests." In other words, these animals have a place to sleep, a place to stay, a place they call home, have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, it's going to be very uncomfortable if you want to follow me. That missionary here Wednesday night uprooted his family, his children, took them to a strange place, sleeps in a hut. Amen? Everything is hard there. Everything. I've seen pictures after pictures. One of the first sawmills ever sent to New Guinea, we helped send it there. Remember that, Brother Graham, Brother Odell? Went out to Oregon and viewed this little portable sawmill, kind of like your daddy has, Miss Terry. They shipped that thing from Oregon down to the San Francisco by rail or truck, put it on a boat, took it to New Guinea, hauled it 100 miles up in those mountains and set up one of the first sawmills ever in New Guinea. But you know how they got them logs out there? Just like he said. Them little people would cut that thing down with an axe and pull it through the mud with a rope and vine and cord and anything they could. I'm talking about trees that big. See, it wasn't comfortable down there. And a lot of times people won't get out of the comfort zone, won't get out of their box, amen, and say, yes, I'm going to go and I'm going to endure whatever hardship I have to. Yes, I'm going to go to Bible school. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be wore out. I'm not going to have much time with my family. But, Lord, I'm willing to do this that I may follow Thee and be used of Thee. I went to Bible school. It was uncomfortable. I uprooted my family here. Left a job making $600 a week in 1981. Amen. I work commission. Miss Meyer, and I've told you all this story, but we have new people continually. Miss Meyer had a nursery. We made good money. Had a good home. Just spent about $5,000 or $6,000 redoing the whole house. And all at once, wham. On a Wednesday night, headed home from church, I looked at Miss Meyer and I said, God's called me to go to Bible school. She said, really? I left Saturday morning, went to Pensacola, looked around Saturday and Sunday, went to church, rented a house in Milton, Florida, come back in 2 weeks, closed the nursery down, packed everything we had in a big U-Haul truck and trailer and everything we can get, and moved to Milton, Florida and started Bible school. It was uncomfortable. Guess what we was making in Milton? The armpit of America is Pensacola, Florida. You look how that thing hangs off down there, that's the armpit right in there. I hated the city, I hated the place, I hated the people, I hated the climate, I hated the beach, I hated everything about it. Still do today? Can any good thing come from Pensacola? You can't make a living down there. Too many military people that's willing to work for low wages because they want something to do and they're well qualified. It was uncomfortable. Amen? The climate was uncomfortable. My schedule was very uncomfortable. Miss Meyer worked 11 to 7. Why? So she could be with the kids in the daytime. Amen? I worked from 7 to about 5 that evening. Amen? Went to Bible school that night. She left and went to work at 11 o'clock from Bible school. Come in at 7:30. I left at 7:15 after the kids got off to school. Amen? To go work. Some of y'all are crybabies. You're whiners. You're thumb suckers. Come and tell me how hard it is. You ain't been uprooted. You got a perfect setup. You keep your job, live in your home that God's allowed you to buy. But because of the comforts of life, you just don't follow Jesus sometime when He tells you what to do. You're just slowly planting your roots deeper and deeper and deeper, make it harder, harder and harder, go in debt deeper and deeper, and you can't get unrooted to do nothing for God or fulfill the call of God in your life. It's uncomfortable. I took two teenagers. And Brad, I think, was 4 years old. We went down there. He's 5 years old. And it got hard. It got real hard. Brother Dale's been there. It's hard down there. Brother Watkins, Brother David, he graduated from down there. Brother Linton graduated from down there. It's hard down there. Brother Stephen did. Brother Stephen had it made. He did. He had a good paying job, lived in a nice apartment, drove brand new vehicles. He came up here one time, about first year, and he started to tell me how hard. I said, son. He didn't have a family, didn't have a wife. No, don't go there with me, please. Amen. But I tell you what, he missed his family. He missed his church. Some of you right now in secular college, you grapple about how hard it is. It's supposed to be hard. That's why you're going, because you ain't got no knowledge about what you want to study. It's supposed to be hard. When you learn it's a hard way, you'll remember a long time. Amen. But they wouldn't follow him because of the comforts of life. And when he told them there, he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. In other words, if you want to follow me, you better get tough. I remember taking Greek and Hebrew, and I know it shows when I preach that I have all this vast knowledge of Greek and Hebrew. I took 3 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew. Amen. I'm a scholar. Y'all know that. I live with them cards in my hand. They've propped up on the table when I was eating. They've propped on the windshield of cars when working on them. Remember them old cards? I hated them. It was hard. All of my Greek sounds the same. But bless God, I went through 3 years of it. Do I know anything about it? Absolutely nothing. Went through a year of Hebrew. Do I know anything about Hebrew? Absolutely nothing. It was hard. It was discomfort. We never had no money problems there. Because we never had no money. If you ain't got money, you don't have a whole lot of money problems. Amen? We had fancy vehicles down there. We could eat out all the time. Year and a half before we could ever eat out, period. And that's hamburger eating out. How many times I hear them people get up in chapel and preacher's fellowships and whine about how hard it was. They putting additions on to their house, getting their hair fixed and their nails done once a week. And, you know, hard. Brother Jeff and them went down there. Diane went down there. They're hard. Ain't got a clue what hard is. But because of the comforts of life, many times we miss what God wants to do with us. Because of the comforts of life, many times we won't follow the Lord Jesus Christ and where He's trying to direct us. And see, you're uncomfortable if you're out of the will of God tonight. God's not a God of convenience. I'm sorry, He's not. Some of you sitting right here, you get, well, why don't you go to a church right down the street? Why do you drive that far? I hate it. I wish it wasn't like that, but it is. Look down, if you would, in Luke chapter 9, verse 59 through 60. Not only the comforts of life, but look at the custom of the day. You know, a lot of people won't follow the Lord because of the customs, tradition. We just always done it that way. But see, when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He travels most of the time a route that most don't travel. You might have to do things different. You might have to break some customs. You might have to get out of the box if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember Brother Linton trying to go to the mission field. They told him you couldn't get in China. Some of you here wants to do something for the Lord. You're going to have to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to break some customs. Amen? You can't listen to people tell you what you can't do. You got to listen to God to tell you what you can do. You can't listen to people tell you where you can't go. You got to listen to God to tell you where you can go. Amen? Luke chapter 9, verse 59, the Bible says, "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now, I don't believe the Bible is teaching us disrespect to our father or to our dead ones. But you got the Lord Jesus Christ here calling you. How many people on the mission field was unable to come home when their mother passed away? How many on the mission field unable to come home when their father passed away? Amen? It happens all the time. They bury that mother, bury that father, and they love them just like you love yours, but they still went and done what God wanted them to do. Amen? They didn't let the customs of the day. Well, we just always been together at Christmas. Well, if you follow God, there's going to be times you ain't going to be together at Christmas. Brother Doss down yonder, his grandkids here, his great-grandkids. It's uncomfortable to him. Well, you know, we get the idea that maybe he don't have the feelings. Yes, he has the feelings we have. That old man had grandkids when he went to the mission field. And it was raised without him. Well, I just like my mama. Well, like your mama, don't follow Jesus. Nothing wrong with loving your mother. Many a time mothers has interfered, amen, with people doing God's will. Daddies is interfered. You want them sold out, you want them serving God, but you don't want them to go nowhere to do it. You know, when Brother Robbie Chancey married Kathy, Miss Kathy, the first thing her mother made Robbie promise her, that you won't take her away from here. Guess where he ended up? Northern Ireland. Well, that's just my baby. It ain't your baby if they saved. God, what an honor to have a child go to a mission field. What an honor to have a child sell out for God and serve God and give their whole life to God and dependent totally upon God. What an honor! But sometimes because of customs, they won't do that. He said, the Lord said, "Hey, but would you first suffer me to go and bury my father?" And the Lord's answer to that, let the dead bury the dead. You know, the number one priority in your life ought to be the will of God in your life. I like comfort. God knows my heart tonight. Amen? God knows my heart. And Miss Meyer knows my heart. If I thought for 1 minute God wanted me on a mission field, I'd stop what I'm doing and go to the mission field. I'm here because I feel God put me here. Amen. If I thought God wanted me to pastor somewhere else and I could discern that and make sure it's of God, I'd leave this church tonight and go pastor somewhere else. Amen. But I feel that I'm exactly where God wants me. Amen? And I don't like it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it probably shows sometime. It didn't spell just sometime hit on Sunday morning. Amen? But as a whole, this is where God put me. And I didn't come here because of the comfort. I didn't come here because of the customs. I came here because God put me here. I have become comfortable. I have a good life. First thing I done was surrender to go and do what God wanted me to do, and God will take care of you. What an honor to have a child or a family in this church. You know, God's called me. Endure the suffering. Man, read the old missionary books. Read what the man and the wife in sickness and can't get doctors for their children, and wives die on the mission field trying to deliver babies, and babies die because they can't get the proper medicine. It's uncomfortable. You had to break a few customs. Man, in the old days, when they saw those that little pretty little girl at 17, 18 years old going off to a foreign field with a missionary, 9 out of 10 times that mother knew she'd never lay eyes on that girl again. The airplanes wasn't back in those days. 6 months to get to a mission field by boat sometime. And that mama would stand and watch that girl walk down that gangplank of that young man that was the light of her life. And that mom and daddy would stand there and watch them people walk off into that boat knowing that I'd never lay eyes on them again, but they knew that they was doing what God wanted them to do. And many of them never laid eyes on them kids again. But he said there, let me go first go and bury my father. Now, Jesus is not speaking disrespect to your mom and your daddy. That ain't what that's about. Because he tells us too many places in the Bible. What he's trying to do is illustrate a fact there. Missionaries go to the field. They fly home for Christmas. I think that's a waste of money. Nothing wrong with coming home on furlough and being there at Christmas. They got churches now that'll fly their missionaries in here for just their camp meeting at great expense. I can name you about 4 of them. I think it's a waste of money. Amen. If there's some way we could get a missionary in here, yeah. But I know a church right now that every camp meeting they have, they fly their missionary in here from Scotland. That costs a lot of money. Amen. Then look at another thing in Luke 9:61. Jesus and another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house. You know something else that'll hinder us many times? Companions of the hour. Companions of the hour. You know one of the biggest hindrances probably to the work of God is who you're running around with? And that's not true all the time. In the old days, if you read some of the old missionary books, they went out 2 by 2. They went out as buddies. They would be commissioned and sent out of a church as a team. But now you can't get nobody godly enough and holy enough and separated enough to want to go as a team. We got a missionary, well, I think one of them actually passed away in Greece or somewhere over there, and they took Ukraine or somewhere. And when you get a prayer letter, both of them's names on that prayer letter. They're working together to do a work for God. I can't remember their names. We don't support them, but I get the prayer letter. They graduated from Dr. Rubman's years and years ago. And they go as a pair. They go as a team. Read of the Walled Indies. Y'all probably ain't got a clue, some of you, what I'm talking about. They put them out 2 by 2. They had their funeral before they ever left to go out and do mission work. They'd actually have their funeral because they knew they would never come back because they'd kill them out there. The little book, Trail of Blood, it come out of the heresy book about the Baptist Brider, but it's a good book when it comes to telling you about the history of some of the old Christians. They served in northern Italy and southern France. They'd have their funeral, send them out, knowing that they'd never see them again. They're going to die out there. And they go out 2 by 2. What a blessing. Husband and wife, both of them sold out to God. What a blessing. To encourage and help and lift one of them up when the one of them's down and vice versa. To pump them up and encourage them. Companions will destroy you if they're not the right companions. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen? He said right there, he said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. Why? You get company come in for out of town, be here on Sunday, you know what you do? You lay out of church. And usually got their name on a prayer list. You lay out of church to spend time with a company that you want to get saved. Boy, that definitely encouraged them to get in right there. Leave me home. Hey, we're going to leave church in the morning about 8:30, 15 to 9. If you want to go, be ready. If not, we'll be back about 12:30, 1 o'clock, whenever Brother Charlie gets through. Amen? Instead of lay out with them. Well, I'd bring them to church, but you don't have enough testimony to get them to church most of the time. You know, you got to separate. You got to be different. You got to let them know that this is what we're doing. We're go to church on Sunday. If you want to be part of what we're doing, then you come and go to church with us and be part of it. He said, I follow thee, but let me go bid them farewell which are at home and at my house. And a lot of times those companions will hinder you, keeping bad company. What fellowship has light with darkness? None. Absolutely none. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? They can't. And that darkness will pull that light, put that light out way quicker than that light will put that darkness out. You want good companionships. You want somebody to encourage you. Even in a marriage, you don't want somebody that you got to put every awakening moment in making them happy. What a spoiled brat you've married. Amen. You want a woman that say, honey, I'll follow you. Whatever you want to do, I'm going with you.
Yes,
I trust you, I'll follow you. And if God feels like He's called you somewhere, I'm going to go with you. Amen. Amen.
Good.
Instead of everything got to be centered around her, and then, God forbid, but there's some men like that that the woman has to put up with.
Yeah.
Little thumb-sucking babies. All about them.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You know, if you got a good companion, praise God for it. If you got somebody to encourage you and rebuke you, thank God for it. We all need that sometime. All of us sometimes need our wings trimmed a little bit, and it's good for somebody that really loves you to do it rather than somebody that don't love you. Amen? And I know y'all are right. You probably never have that, but Miss Meyer does get me every once in a while. And I don't like none of it. I never rejoice when she says, you know, you're wrong. I never say, well, praise God, hallelujah, I am wrong, and she spotted it. You don't either, do you? You get huffed up after a while that God reveals, you know, she is right.
Yeah.
You make me head of the house, Lord. But there's three simple things there. Comforts of life, amen, customs of the day, and companions of the hour. Why, a lot of times people won't follow the Lord. And God is not God's will that all go to the mission field. Churches like this support mission. Amen. It's not God's will that all be in full-time service. It's not even God's will that all be have a great responsibility in the body of Christ. Amen. But whatever God's give you to do, do it. And don't let these things hinder you. If you got comfort now, enjoy the comfort. When God comes knocking, answer the call. Uproot yourself. I use Brother Chancey again. He had a beautiful home. Beautiful home. We was in his home quite often. I mean, had a beautiful home right over here in Forestdale. Y'all remember that? He walked away from that home. Miss Kathy, she loved, and Robbie made good money, real good money. She collected antiques. I mean, she had some mighty nice antique furniture. When God called him to the mission field, called him to go to Pensacola Bible School, he tried to sell his house, couldn't sell it. He walked away and lost $40,000 on that house to fulfill the call of God. All of them antiques Miss Kathy had, she lost every one of them. Went to Bible school 3 years. God called him Northern Ireland, went to Northern Ireland. Come off the field after 12 years, she died within a year with cancer in her back. It's going to be hard. How many babies buried on the mission field? But then who told you it was going to be easy? Bible didn't tell you that. Men's days are few and what? Full of trouble. He told him, he said, you follow me, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to do without some things. We was talking down in our class tonight, and I'm going to probably get a few people that's run these roads and done deputation and preached meetings, and let them just tell the experiences they've had on the road, the places they've been put. Brother Justice went up to Pennsylvania, him and Josh. They was going to put him in a motel room, got up there, put him in a room with 15 people, and they had to sleep in a closet without a bed. They had to go to Walmart and buy a bedroll to sleep. Give him $70 offering. Great man of God here in the country. If I named his name, you know who he was, most of you. I don't have a very high opinion of him, but I had that before they went up there. But, Brother Carl, all of you, you run these roads any time, done these meetings, preach these meetings, you've been put in some situations. Amen. Ain't going to be easy. Try to do something for God, the devil's going to come at you with everything they got. He's going to attack you from every side. Boy, ain't that encouraging. Boy, that'll get you fired up tonight and just ready to charge hell with a water pistol full of gas tonight. I mean, you're ready to roll. Everybody ain't going to like you. You're not going to be accepted everywhere. Travel 700 miles, they give you 5 minutes to present your work, give you a $40 check, and send you on your way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, don't that encourage you to go? It ain't about that. It's about doing what God asked you to do. Get uprooted. Step out by faith. Trust God. God will take care of you. I ain't never heard of one missionary starving to death on the road nowhere. I don't think none of them got stranded and couldn't get home. Might be a few out there in that desert that can't get out of there, but amen. But ain't that what the devil tells us? You know what the devil will do? He tells you all of what you're going to have to do without instead of all of what God's going to do for you. That's what he tells you. He tells you how hard it is instead of how God's going to make it easy. Amen. But that's the reason a lot of times people won't follow the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.